It's good to see you here this morning. Not to have quite as many as we had last week for Easter, but you're here. We've got some on vacation. And then, of course, Miss Nell's family dealing with the preparing for the funeral this afternoon. But you're here and the Lord's here, so he's got something he'd like to say especially to you. Maybe through the song, through a prayer, through what I preach. Sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks independently of what anything that we do in the service, but he knows your need and he'll speak and he'll bless you. Again, we're glad you're here. Anybody that's listening later on the website or anybody that's in the parking lot listening, we welcome you to be a part of the service. Let's pray. Father God, as we come into your presence this morning, it's just an awesome thing to think the God of the universe, the God who created all that there is and flung it out into an empty space, the earth, the moon, the stars, the planets, made it all work together so that the sun came up and the rains fell and everything that came. And you welcome our presence to worship you. Oh Lord, we're just in awe of that. We're just in awe of that. And Father God, just a moment ago I mentioned rain. We desperately need rain across this part of the United States. And Father God, I know that it's not forecast, but that doesn't make any difference to you. You can make it rain out of a sunny sky if you want to. And Father, I pray that in your love for us, that you'll send the rain that's needed across this part of the United States. And Father, not only the rain of physical rain, but the rain of the Holy Spirit that will touch dry spiritual lives and bring them to life again. Lord, we love you. We worship you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll try something different and have it out. But this morning, as we do every month, I want to recognize the birthdays and anniversaries. And so if you have a birthday in the month of April, our birthdays for the month of April: Shelby Barbie, April the 19th. Ricky Edwards, April the 21st. Charlene Harville, the 22nd of April. Alec Louder, April 24th. Jason Linker, April the 28th, and Veronica Whitley, April the 30th. Have I missed anyone? All right, then, Brenda, give me a key that I can hit for me.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you.
Anniversaries: Jim and Janice Hopkins, April the 10th. Tim and Diane Smith, April the 29th. If you give them applause, please. And I believe Jim and Janice are away on a cruise for their anniversary, so they're not going to be with us today. They're on the ocean somewhere, no doubt.
And the 22nd.
Their 22nd. Okay. All righty. Then that being said, I don't want to leave anybody out. But as we always do every Sunday morning, I like to take the hymnal and find an old hymn for us to sing. Somebody told me the other day, quit using that word old. Let's just say you have a hymn to sing. But it happens that these songs are rather old, but they're not going to be forgotten as long as I'm able to breathe and sing. Because I just believe God wants us to remember the hymns of the church. And we'll do the other hymns as well and the other songs as well. But up on the board today, you're going to see a song called Victory in Jesus. What a beautiful, beautiful song. Let's all stand and sing together, Victory in Jesus. All three.
Came from glory, how he gave his life.
remain standing for prayer, please. Be seated. See you all again. I have some announcements I want to share with you, and if you're here today and you're visiting with us, we do welcome you, and indeed you are our special guest, and we hope you'll come back and be with us real soon. I've already told some of you that I saw this morning, don't forget your way back, because we want you to be here and be with us in fellowship. I love fellowship. I thought last Sunday during our breakfast and as a beautiful time of fellowship. I think God expects us to come together and fellowship together, and that's what we need to do. As I want to share now some announcements with you, and there'll be no evening services tonight, and of course there will be a funeral here this afternoon for the Jackman family, for Miss Nell, and the funeral will be at 3. They'll be receiving friends at 2 o'clock, and so if you want to come, please come for that and support the Jackman family. We will have next Sunday, we will have quarterly conference, and quarterly conference April the 17th, and we'll be voting on the proposed amendment to the Constitution bylaws, and also copies of the proposal will be available today. So if you want to come down before you go that way, come here and pick you up a copy, right, Brother Kenny? They'll be here, and so you come and get your copy. This will be a bylaw constitution or bylaws amendment. Okay? Annie Armstrong, Easter offering month of March and April continues on. What's our total now, Miss Brenda? $1,430. We have $1,430 so far, which is good. Which is good. So let's just keep it up. Baptist Children Home Food Drive. I want to read this one. Food can be brought to the church for delivery to the associational office. The deadline will be April 19th. So that's next Sunday. You may also give offering or by cash or by check. Make the check payable to Barber's Grove Baptist Church, tag Children's Home. So if you want to do that, you can absolutely do it that way. Brother Jeff and the Baptist men, we were going to have a butt sale again. And you want to talk about that?
Last week before last,
Amen.
Thank you, everybody.
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. Thank you, men who stepped up and helped us at a time. That money was what Jeff didn't say to you. The money that we had spent went to other people and went to other organizations, children's homes, and all the drives that we had, all that the church participated in. We were part of it as Baptist men. And also the wings were also a part of that too. We don't want to forget them at all. But so that was part of it. Did you want to say something, Charlene,
yeah,
about what?
I didn't want you to have to say it.
Well, no, I wasn't going to. I promise you, Charlene, thank you all. I wasn't going to say anything because I didn't want anybody to think I'm promoting Leonard, but I will be 80, and that's saying something, a great blessing from the Lord. I give him all the glory. Everything is his. I had a physical 2 weeks ago, and everything was green all the way down to Atrium's list. So again, as I stand here, I'm not bragging, I'm praising the Lord. And I do appreciate what they're doing for my birthday. And you're all invited. That's the key to this thing. This reason is in your bulletin. Everyone is invited to that. And please come and be with us. Can take your chili and make a sloppy Joe out of it and hurt in a heartbeat. But anyway, thank y'all, and we'll just hope and pray all of you can come. And yes, my favorite foods, if you will be available, hot dogs and Krispy Kremes. So there we go. All right. Okay. Thank you again. Okay. Are there any announcements other than I may have missed at all? Okay, then let's go to our prayer request. And we have several that we need to remember. Of course, let's remember the Jackman family this afternoon as they endure a time of hardship, and as a funeral. Let's also remember Jim and Janice as they're traveling. Are there others that you need to mention this morning? Yes, go ahead.
Judy Henson.
And Janie. Okay. Miss Ruth, you mentioned one in Sunday school this morning, and for some reason I did not get that down. Brenda who?
Rosina.
Oh, Rosina. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, that's right. She did. She have a heart cath? Yeah. Okay, good. That's Miss Rosina. She had a heart cath, and she's doing, everything was good at that, but she still have some issues. Are the others?
Darla.
Okay. I'm sorry, but my hearing aids are not tuned in right this morning, and I apologize. But it's because I'm so old.
Well, I'm older than you, and I didn't even have to change
that. Okay. All right. Are the others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, We come to you, first of all, thanking you. As Lord, as I feel so strongly, before we ask you for anything, help us, Lord, to always be thankful, many times over thankful to you for your blessings. As I look out on the audience today and I think about how each one were blessed to be able to be here, and I think about also those that are homebound and cannot be here, I lift those up to you, Lord. Those in the nursing homes, I pray for them. But then, Lord, there are those, Lord, that have been mentioned this morning that need prayer, need for us to lift them up in petitions to you. And Lord, I would like to do that. I pray for Darlene Hathcock. I pray for Miss Rosina. I pray for Janice and Jim as they're traveling. I pray for the Jackman family this morning. And I pray for Judy Henson, for Janie Carpenter. And Lord, we pray now, Lord, for our pastor who will be coming and sharing with us the message today. We pray for his strength and for your guidance. And Lord, as we go forward now, Lord, we'll be very, very careful to thank you and to give you all the glory and all the praise. And all the people said, amen. Okay, today we're going to sing a short little praise song that I found in the hymnal. And I do think it's a beautiful praise song that we can all sing. We will glorify. We will glorify. It's on the board. It's on page 213 if you want to do it that way. Everyone stand, please. We will glorify. Children, you are dismissed.
Truly, hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Praise the Lord for who He is. In everyday life, if you believe something, really believe it, you'll act on it. For example, if you believe your doctor knows what's wrong with you and is prescribing the right medications, you'll take those prescriptions. If you think your GPS is accurate and it tells you to turn left, you'll turn left. If you believe that eye on the stove is hot, you're not going to put your hand on it. Now, maybe when you're 3 years old and you don't understand, no, don't touch. But when we get older, we just don't touch it. If you believe you got money in the bank, you can write a check. If you believe the gun is loaded, you're careful about where you point it and you don't pull the trigger. If you believe that policeman behind you will give you a ticket, you stop at the next stop sign and you wait just a little longer than you usually would before you pull out. Even if you don't see another vehicle within 2 miles, you're going to wait a little longer because that policeman's behind you. I don't see anybody in here leaning against the wall, so I assume that all of you believe when you came in the door that that pew would hold you. So you sit down. That's called faith. If we believe something, we act on it. That's just a part of life. Does that same simple faith carry over into our spiritual life? Does that same spiritual faith transfer into our spiritual life? Now, last week, what did we do? We celebrate Easter. And we sang about He lives. And we proclaimed He's alive. Jesus is not in the tomb. He's alive. Do we really believe that? Do we believe it enough to act on it? Does our saying Jesus lives affect the way we live on a daily basis? You don't have to turn to these. I'm just going to give you some verses real quick, and then we'll look at some others a little more in depth. In Acts 1:11, it says, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." Acts 1:11. The Bible says Jesus is coming back. Do we really believe that? A scripture that I looked at last week, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." The Bible says we're going to be judged for the way we lived, good or bad. Now, the judgment seat of Christ has nothing to do with whether we're going to heaven or not. It's for believers. If we don't know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we'll go to that great white throne judgment that's in the book at the end of the book of Revelation and just don't be forever lost. But do we really believe we're going to be judged for what we do? In the book of Matthew, in the 12th chapter, there's a verse that bothers me a little bit. Matthew 12:36. It's read in my Bible. "Jesus saying to you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." Every idle word will be given an account. You know, I got a lot of stuff I want to take back. I got a lot of stuff I want to take back. And I've learned, you know, I need to be careful about the way I talk to people, whether it's my kids, whether it's a clerk or a waitress or a waiter. whether it's somebody in church, we need to be careful about the way we talk. And then the other one is in Luke chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. That which ye have spoken in the ear in closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. Nothing hidden. We thought we had our secrets, but it shall all be known. Now, I don't say any of that, those scriptures to scare you, but to remind us that if we really believe Jesus is alive, and if we really believe he's coming back, and if we really believe we're going to have to give an account for the life that we live, then it's going to affect the way we live. Now, it's obvious to me that there's some folks that say, oh, I believe Jesus is alive and that he's coming back, but they don't live in that way. What are some ways, and I want us to look at some scriptures that talk about some ways that will make a difference in the way we live if we really believe Jesus is alive, he's coming back, and we'll give an account. Turn with me first to Mark 16. It's very end of the book of Mark, Mark 16, beginning at verse 15. And he said unto them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. The last verse, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the words with signs following. If we really believe Jesus is coming back, we're going to be witnesses. We're going to share our faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to look for opportunities. We're going to be sensitive to opportunities that come across our path. And we're going to share Jesus. Now, honestly, how many of us can say last week, since last Sunday, we've had a time that we shared Jesus in some way with an unsaved person or with a backslidden person? I don't mean you had to do a full gospel presentation. You may have just said, Jesus loves you, or Jesus died for you, or Jesus is alive. You just may have mentioned Jesus in some way. But did you share your faith in Jesus? If we really believe Jesus is coming back, we're going to do that. Did you pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers? Jesus told us, pray ye therefore for the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the fields. Maybe there are people that you know about that are lost or backslidden and you can't get in touch with them for some reason, or maybe they don't speak to you or whatever, but are you praying for the Holy Spirit? To the Father, to the Lord of the harvest? Lord, send somebody to that person. Bring across their path a coworker, a friend, and share Jesus. I was talking to somebody last night and they mentioned Jesus, and I thought, I can't believe I heard Jesus out of their mouth. They're a good person. They just don't go to church. But they just talked about Jesus, and I'm thinking, my prayers to send forth laborers to that field is finally maybe beginning to get through. If we really believe Jesus is coming back, we'll be witnesses. Turn with me now to Matthew chapter 25. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And you know the rest of that passage where he says to a group, Depart. And they say, he said, Because I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. And I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. And they say, When? When you did it not to the least of these, you did it not to me. If we really believe Jesus is going to come back, we're going to minister to other people. It may be a kind word. It may be a hug. It may be a gift, food, money, some wise counsel. These days you can do it with an email or a text or some of those other platforms that I have no clue what they are all about. So many ways we can minister. Last week, did you have an opportunity to minister the love of Jesus to an individual or to a family? And did you take that opportunity or walk by on the other side and pretend it just was no need that you could meet? If we really believe Jesus is going to come back, we're going to be like the Good Samaritan. We're going to see that person beaten and in trouble beside the road. And we're going to do what we can. Now, he wasn't a doctor, but he used the oil and the wine or whatever he had to pour in the wounds and bind the man up. But the priest and the Levite walked by on the other side. If we really believe Jesus is coming back, it's going to affect the way we live and minister to others. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll start at verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, differences of administration, but the same Lord, diversities of operations, but the same God that worketh in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And then he goes on to talk about the way one's given a spirit of wisdom and one's given a spirit of knowledge and all of those other different spiritual gifts. Last week, did you use your spiritual gifts? Yours and mine are different, I'm sure. But did you use them to minister? And sometimes those spiritual gifts involve, I'll say, church. You know, witnessing to people. Ministering to the hurting. But sometimes your gifts and your training may not have a lot to do with church. I'll pick on Jeff. The other day, I told him how much I appreciated what he's been doing with the AC and the electricity and all that. That's a gift. Amen. He gets up here and he says, we're going to do this, this, and this with the electricity. We're going to do this, this, and this. He might as well be talking Chinese. I don't get it. I can flip a light switch. I can plug something in an outlet. I can set my thermostat. And back when you had the little round glass fuses, you know, they're about the size of a quarter, I could screw one of those in if I saw one was burnt out. After that, I'm clueless. I thank the Lord for somebody that spent hours getting everything worked out here. That's a gift. Those guys that came and cooked last week, food was great, right? Amen. Now, I know some people that if they had come and cooked, the Pepto-Bismol franchise would have skyrocketed. It's a gift. They're just people that have those different gifts. Are we using them for the Lord? And are we using them to help people, bless people? God knows what we all need and what the church needs and what the community needs. And God gives us these gifts. He says, use them for his glory. If we believe Jesus is going to come back, we're going to be busy doing what we can do to be a blessing. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. We'll start with verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, of such like, of the which I tell you, as I've also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections thereof. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If I believe Jesus is coming back, it's going to affect the way I live. I can live in the flesh or I can live in the Spirit. You can live in the flesh or you can live in the Spirit. It all depends on the choice. Now, the Holy Spirit is given to us to empower us to walk in the Spirit and to live in the Spirit. We don't have to do it in our, you know, pulling ourselves up by the bootstraps and doing it all in our own power and own strength. The Holy Spirit is given to us and enable us to live a godly life. A life that is a positive influence to our families and to our friends, our co-workers. It's amazing to me how people can say, I'm a child of God, I believe Jesus is coming back, and they can go off with their friends and do some of the most ungodly things. I think about a funeral I preached probably 40 years ago. And this person were an example of a great, great church member. Deacon, taught Sunday school, sang in the choir, everything else. And I laid it on thick at the funeral. And then we go out to the cemetery and somebody come up to me and says, I worked with him 30-some years and never knew he was a Christian. And I'm thinking, that just broke my heart. That broke my heart. Do we live in the flesh or do we live in the Spirit? If I really believe Jesus is coming back, I'm going to attempt to live as best I can a godly life, live more with the fruit of the Spirit than in the lust of the flesh. One more, Luke 6. verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Last week, did you invest in God's investment program? God says, if you give, and of course, if you go back to Malachi where he says, bring the tithes into the storehouse and I'll pour out a blessing upon you. There's not room enough to receive it. And here he talks about giving. And if we give, then God will restore it. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's a good, good investment program. Do we let God's investment program govern the way we give? Last week, do you invest in tithes and offerings, mission gifts, ministries? Maybe somebody that you just handed a $10 bill to, or a $20 bill to, or a $100 bill to that had a special need? A couple of weeks ago, this lady texted me from another part of the state, and she's about somewhere between 65 and 70. She's got all kinds of issues, no kids, been divorced for 30 years, nobody, no family, no brothers, no sister. And she was making it all right financially as long as her mom was still alive, but because, you know, mom's Social Security and whatever. But then once mom died, she's been struggling. And she was in a panic. She said she had bills. I forgot what they were for, maybe for the city taxes or something. Anyway, she had bills that she couldn't pay, and she was just in great stress. And while I'm praying about it, she texts back and says, somebody just gave me $1,000 and I've got some relief. She didn't tell me who gave her $1,000, but somebody saw a need and somebody blessed her with that $1,000 and relieved her of all of the strain and stress. I mean, the way she the first text she sent me made me think, is she considering taking her life because she's so desperate? But no, somebody saw a need and invested. I pray and I believe that whoever it was, because the number of relatives that I know this lady has, I name on one hand. So whether it's a friend or a relative, I have no idea. But somebody invested in her need. God says, as we give, it's going to be good measure, pressed down and running over. I've shared this before, but I think about it every time I read this scripture. Back when we were in the produce business, they had those hampers that were about this tall, about this big around, and they narrowed down at the bottom. And it's supposed to hold a bushel. Well, how much it held depending on what you did with it. We learned, if I went to this farmer's market and I was buying peas, I'd pick that thing up and drop it on the concrete. And a lot of times, boom, there'd be a hole at the top of that this big. Because you see, if you could pack them loose, it don't hurt nearly as much and you get 3 bushels out of 2. Or greens, you know, like turnip greens, mustard greens, you could do the same thing. Now, somebody that was honest, they shook it down and they pressed it down and they put more into the, they got in all you could get in there. That's the picture I get of what Jesus is saying. God's going to bless us abundantly. He's not going to give us just a little bit. He's going to bless us abundantly as we give. The point I'm making is this. We proclaim, he lives, he lives, he lives, he lives. And I believe he does. And because he lives, it affects the way I live. And I pray that it affects the way you live. Because one day he is coming back and we will stand and give an account for our witnessing. We'll give an account for our ministry to those who are hurting. We'll give an account for the use of our spiritual gifts. We'll give an account for our giving. We'll give an account for whether we live purely or attempted to live pure and holy, or we let our flesh control our life. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? In a moment, we'll sing a hymn of invitation. But right now, would you allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart? The psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Can you honestly pray that right now? And if there's any area of your life that I mentioned, or maybe something that the Holy Spirit brought up to you that I didn't mention, that you need to change, would you just make a commitment, Lord? I want to live differently. There's a little song that says, "Let others see Jesus in you. Your life's a book before their eyes. They're reading it through and through. Say, does it point them to the skies? Do others see Jesus in you?" Jesus, we know you're alive. Let us live that way, that our lives might bring glory and honor to our Heavenly Father. As Leonard comes to lead us in a hymn of invitation, if you need to receive Jesus Christ, if you need to come to the altar and pray, if there's other decisions that are on your heart, we invite you to come.
So I'll stand, please. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night.
Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you, give you his peace, his joy, his anointing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.